CliffCentral.com.
That's right. Today on the MKT show, Cliff Central Sport, you can subscribe and like if you haven't already. They've got lots of cool stuff going on there, great guests and interesting conversations. It's not all sport, but it's mostly sport, and there's a kind of sport you might be interested in. There's a story going around about the was it Argentines who were arrested in Brazil?
The Argentina players. It's the most ridiculous situation you've ever seen. So three players from that play in the English Premier League.
Yeah.
Essentially, what's happened is they should never have got in because they lied at the airport to Brazilian authorities, because if they had told where they came from, they would have had to quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
In order, so they wouldn't have been able to play the match. So what happened was the police were actually at their hotel, but they hadn't had the order from the government to say they can arrest the guys.
Oh my God.
So they waited and pitched up in the middle of the game. Can you imagine this? It's probably the biggest football match in the world.
Yeah.
Officials walk on the field. Now you got Leo Messi like standing there with officials. First of all, I don't know why your police officials are in jogger pants, but okay, whatever. But they pull in there and they want to arrest these three guys. It is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. And it's all about COVID. So, hey, there's a deeper story. Yeah. That's a teaser. You can catch us at 12 o'clock. We'll talk a bit more about it.
All right. Now,
the MKT show, Cliff Central Sport on YouTube.
Speaking of teasers, we've got to get Sean on, because Sean Sanders, the co-founder of Revix, is here to tell us about something interesting that's been happening in cryptocurrency this week. I mean, just yesterday at this time, we were looking at about $52,000. It's dropped back down to $46,000 for a Bitcoin. But the real interesting story is the story of Solana. We've got Sean Sanders here. Hey, Sean, to tell us the story of Solana. I was interested in this already. I think I mentioned it to you like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And Solana has just shot through the roof. It's been the best performing cryptocurrency of 2021. But what is Solana? What does it do? You're going to help us figure this out, right, Sean?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Good
morning.
So Solana is known as an Ethereum killer, and it's up. You won't even believe this. It's up 5,200% over the last year. So it has really blown up in popularity. And what's really interesting about Solana is that it has literally a fraction of the transactional cost that you'd have on Ethereum. So just for reference sake, we tried to use the Ethereum network yesterday with this whole market pullback that took place and whatnot. It cost us $300 for a very basic transaction on the network. So Ethereum has sort of become a victim of its own success. And I mean, $300 for a very basic transaction, that's ridiculous. Like, imagine you wanted to send some money on the Ethereum network and you have to pay $300 for that. That's obscene, right?
Right.
But if you are looking at Solana's network, not only are you going to pay for that same transaction yesterday only 2 US cents versus the $300, which is obviously a huge cost saving, but you're able to process over 30 times the number of transactions per second relative to the likes of Ethereum.
Phenomenal.
So if you look at Ethereum as a blockchain network, and I mean, taking a step back here, I think a lot of listeners are going to go like, what are you talking about? What is Ethereum? So Ethereum, the second largest cryptocurrency, what Ethereum really aims to do is to create a blockchain infrastructure, really, for other applications to be built on top of. So an analogy here would be to say, listen, look at the internet, right? I mean, the internet enabled email, it enabled image sharing, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the applications that were built sort of on top of the internet. Now, if you're looking at the blockchain and blockchain technology, you've got to have sort of that infrastructure in place. And the likes of Ethereum, the likes of Cardano, the likes of Solana, they're looking at creating that infrastructure. But now if you think back to maybe the early 90s, I mean, the internet was clunky. Hell, even the early 2000s, the internet was really clunky and slow. And you can kind of draw a comparison there to the early days of crypto. So if you're looking at Ethereum, which is one of the earlier sort of blockchain-based infrastructure cryptocurrencies, it's a bit slow. A lot of development has taken place on it.
I mean, we can see what the potential of this is. And I heard lots of people in the crypto world speaking about this 2 weeks ago and maybe a little bit before, but much more afterwards. It's hard, though, for people to buy Solana, because you really have to know your way around the internet. You have to also be on a number of different wallets and platforms, and you can't buy it on certain ones and you can on others. And I mean, it's been like a diamonds, really, this rare gemstone that you can't find anywhere. So I managed to get some the other day, but it's really hard. Isn't there an easier way to do this?
Oh, what a segue. Thanks, Gareth. Yeah. wow. That was perfect. So, yes, true, we are launching Solana on Friday, which I'm quite excited about. We'll be doing this completely fee-free. So you are able to make a deposit in RANDs, or you can deposit another cryptocurrency onto the Revex platform, and then you're able to buy into Solana absolutely fee-free. So there's nothing, no strings attached. You don't need to enter any promo code or anything
that. You're telling us also there's still major upside coming, because there's a lot of interest in Solana right now. We haven't missed the boat, right?
I mean, look, it's always difficult to say, it's always difficult to say if this is going to go up or going to go down, right? I mean, there's been a very big price increase over the last while. But I think when you start looking out at the opportunity and you go, okay, right, Ethereum is pretty clunky right now. And I mean, there's some Ethereum proponents. I'm not necessarily saying that I don't think Ethereum can scale. They're just not probably going to be scaling over the short term. And if you're looking at sort of competitors in that space, I mean, maybe the pie is big enough. And I do believe that the pie is big enough for the likes of Cardano, for the likes of Ethereum and Solana to live sort of in harmony with one another. And that means there is a lot of upside left. I mean, Solana's got a long way to get to the likes of Cardano or Ethereum's value. I mean, you're sitting with well over 20 times upside there.
So, Sean, we can now, from Friday, buy some Solana on Revex. Do we just go on and do it like we would buying Bitcoin, Ethereum, or US dollar coins, whatever else you got there?
Oh, yeah. So you are able to get started with as little as 150 Rand if you're a newbie to the Revex platform. If you're a current Revex customer, you're able to buy Solana fee-free. We're offering this to every single customer that we currently have, and obviously new investors as well.
All right, very good. So everybody can get the special deal. It's not just for people who've never been on Revex before.
Yeah, no, that's correct. And you don't have to enter any promo codes. It's just from Friday, it's be free. So it's literally as simple as that.
And maybe, you know, it's worth, because a lot of people have their, what they call their HODL portfolio, their portfolio of cryptocurrencies that they're keeping that long term. It's usually a bit of Bitcoin, a bit of Ethereum, some Cardano, maybe a little bit of Solana. If you think that this is going to be a platform that will grow and that will be used, as you put it just now, as the best possible way to build applications on the blockchain. If that's the case, then maybe you want a little bit of this in your portfolio.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the sort of stance I would take. I mean, if you're looking at sort of the top three cryptocurrencies right now with the most upside potential, I mean, Solana is definitely there. The amount of development that's taking place on the network it's incredible. And it's also, as I said earlier, I mean, Ethereum is becoming a victim of its own success, because the more applications that get built on Ethereum, the slower the network becomes, and older applications then move over to the likes of Solana and Cardano. So I think you will see this accelerate over the coming months. And, you know, the top picks for me, Cardano, Solana, and potentially, I mean, one another up-and-comers, and one we recently introduced as well, was Polkadot, which essentially allows blockchains to communicate to one another. Those sort of are the top picks for me. And obviously no bias given that they're on the platform, but that's pretty much the reason why we launched them. We think that there's fantastic upside with these different cryptocurrencies.
Very good. Thank you, Sean. Always good to check in with you. Sean Sanders, Revex.com. You can find out more by following them on social media at Revex Invest, or you can just sign up at Revex for free, Revix.com, and add, you could put in 150 Rand. You don't have to spend, you know, your life savings. Just go in there and try it out. Better be on board than feel like you've missed out later on. Thanks very much, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
Great, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
Bye. Well, there we go. A little cryptocurrency update for this morning with Sean Sanders. And yes, these names of these coins are pretty hilarious, like Polkadot and Luna.
Polkadot, Solana. I was like, oh, who's that girl? She sounds lovely.
Solana sounds like the third Knowles child. There's like Beyonce, there's Solange, and then there's Solana.
Yes, Solana.
Yeah.
speaking of those humans, sometimes I forget that Beyonce is from the hood. You know, like every now and then, like my nephew who just nephew and niece can't get enough of Beyonce. They'll send me clips like, oh, look what, like, first of all, I'm not gonna watch. But every now and then, it'll sting you how hood she is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forget.
Oh, no. Yeah, she says that.
Oh, yeah, be aight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Jeez, like it.
Did she turn 40? No, she had a birthday, right? She just had a birthday on the 4th.
So
Beehive people are like, like fan. When you're a fan, you're like, oh my gosh,
I don't know how old Beyonce is. I don't care about her music much either. But I did see a very funny picture of Jay-Z, and he's looking pretty. Yeah, he's really. He's an unfortunate looking man, that Jay-Z. He's not a looker. I mean, no one has ever said these words. Wow, Jay-Z is looking really great at the moment, isn't he? He's looking so hot. No one's ever said that. So there's a picture of Jay-Z going around on the internet now, and it's something like, if you're having a bad day, or you think you look bad, or you're feeling a bit, you know, off yourself, just remember that this is the guy who got Beyonce. And there's like pictures of him with a bad hat on, and he's looking fat, and you know, he's looking like he looks. What can we say? It's just proof that if Jay-Z can do it in this world, looking like that, you'll be okay. You know.
Thank you. You've made me feel so much better about myself this morning. Actually.
That's exactly the point.
Thank you.
So later on, we're going to speak to a guy called Grant Burton, who is something of an expert in YouTube, because he sent me a list of all the top people in South Africa on YouTube, and I thought this might be interesting. So we'll ask him about his own channel and check out what he knows about YouTube. He might be able to teach us a few things this morning. So I'm looking forward to speaking to him. That's all coming up a little bit later on. And we'll find out whether that's his full-time job or how much time he actually spends on doing his YouTube stuff. So that's all very good. Lots of compliments for you this morning, Sureshni. People saying, thank goodness you're here because you've improved the aesthetics of the show. Other people saying, can we please have Sureshni back at some point because she's the only sensible person here this morning. See, this is the kind of thing we're getting.
Thank you. Lots of
love. All right. I was listening to the MKT show the other day and I really enjoyed it. I will listen again. So there we go, Mbolelo. Some praise from Donna. All right.
Lovely.
In case you were,
thank you.
You need to know these things. And yes, Monica says Jay-Z, an unfortunate looking man. Yeah, really. There is no. Sweet Pea wants to know: is there a Revix promo code? No. Sean just said now, if you can buy Solana from Friday, and they're going to charge no fees on it. So there's a good reason to get involved early. Plus, of course, you get involved early, there's big upside. So let's see how that goes with Sean on Friday. Just make a little note in your phone. You know, best thing is you don't have to remember everything. Mm. You could just create a little reminder, and then on Friday morning you go out and sort that out. Okay, very good. So what's going on that you want to tell us about, Mbolelo Sureshni? Let's see what you've got on your minds this morning. We've got a little bit of time before we go to Grant.
Sureshni, what's happening in your household? So you've told me you've got a baby now. I love that your parents try to ship you off like cattle to a totally different country. That is fantastic.
No. I will still consider my her baby. She'll always
she's
be
11.
She's 11.
What are you talking about?
I know.
Baby. Baby,
she's my only one, yeah. And for me, I have a very complicated day ahead. Like I told you about, I don't know, every time I talk about death, it's like people are like, oh, someone else has passed on in my life, because that's all I've been attending is virtual funerals.
Oh no.
Sadly, though, my actual immediate neighbor, like to my left, like the house is right here, she's passed on. So today I'll have to attend a funeral, and I haven't.
What's the house like?
Her house?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. Ooh. Like, okay, so I love going to people's houses with a bathroom.
Maybe you can pick it up at a good price now that she's gone.
Yeah.
Mm. No, man, the husband's still alive. Uncle James is still alive. But that's the thing, right? So a couple of my friends have been talking about people who've been passing on from COVID. Mm. The housing market or property and has become a thing where they've left these beautiful homes or it's going for a steal.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, that's interesting.
When, you know what I do is I just, anytime anyone says someone's died, I look up their property on Google Earth and then I say, maybe it's a good one. Get involved there. I don't know.
No. So anyway, today I'm attending a funeral and then obviously
are you
a full
doing,
day of work. So it's one of those.
Are you doing the real funeral or are you doing the virtual one?
A real funeral. So I have been attending virtual funerals. This might be my actual first real funeral.
what is a virtual funeral like? I haven't been to one yet. Everybody I know has been to one, but I haven't.
so many. So it's quite sad, actually. Like, obviously, a lot of them I attend are Hindu-based funerals, so it's a lot of traditional things where the coffins arrive, like, in these fancy hearses, and it's wrapped sometimes in plastic. There was a huge thing in Durban about that, where the coffins were wrapped in plastic if someone has passed on from COVID, and apparently the laws were changed. Like, actually, you can actually have the casket without it being wrapped. People were like, so in our culture.
But hang on, the plastic, are you talking about, like, cling film?
Like the one of the airport. No, like the one of the airport where they cover your luggage, like that one.
Oh my God.
So it arrives. And I think it was so sad because it robs you of that closure. And especially, like I said, in our culture, it's very open. So, like, the caskets are usually open. So you see the face. It's part of the tradition. You take flowers and you do a certain, like, a ritual and all of that. So for a lot of Indian families, in my particular family, attending these virtual funerals was terrible. Like, it would arrive less than 20 minutes, gone. That is it. And then you go to the crematorium, and then there's usually somebody that films, you know, the part of the ritual as far as they can go.
Do you dressed up for a virtual funeral?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I wear a full sari. So actually, I was going to wear a sari this morning, but I was super early because Michelle is Christian and white, traditionally our family was raised, the women or the men wear traditional clothes. And I always do. Your camera's not on, but I just do. You know?
Okay, so even though your camera, because I was going to ask, do people leave their cameras on? Because, you know, in meetings, the only things I've done virtually are meetings. You sometimes have those people who say, let's all switch our cameras off. And then sometimes they want you on because they want to be able to see you. At a funeral, I would assume the cameras are off.
Yeah, people are using YouTube links, or, like, let's say the actual funeral parlor, they're the ones in charge. They're the one that are actually streaming it, so they're very good. But the problem is the microphone, because now you're hearing, okay, we can move to the left, okay? And then it's like, I just need to see this whole thing. So it's always that. And then if it's a Zoom situation where somebody is, like, connecting, that was the first one I saw, was a Zoom funeral where they took their laptop to West Park Cemetery and set it up on the little, on the side. And then it was just, like, noise. And then family members didn't mute, and they were like, oh, she was such a nice person. And then somebody background, did you take the clothes off the line? You know, I was like, man, mute your microphone.
So
I think there needs to be etiquette when it comes to, like, virtual funerals. So now people usually go, ladies and gentlemen, please note, please put your microphones off. Please mute the mic. Please put the cameras off.
There's got to be a whole lot.
If you're going to do it, just do it properly. Because I know somebody who specializes now. Like, he does it properly with proper streaming, like you do on television. Proper streaming.
It's a business.
He can mute that. Do it properly.
Yeah, you get the actual professionals in to do it for you, right?
And I was, again, my fascination with death. Like, I've been seeing so many of these funerals, and now it's like, you know, when you go to a wedding, you go, I loved her decor. Oh, wow, her food was great. Now I'm like, okay, I want my coffin to look in a certain way. Do I want doves? Do I really want a Scottish pipe player? Wow. It needs to be a thing. Like, my send-off must be a thing. Like, so now I'm putting that in. I'm like, I do not want this, but I would like really good quality here.
I think everybody's a little bit over this virtual stuff now, so I think it might just go away, and we may see a return to normal sooner than we think. But even so, there are probably more occasions where you don't need your camera than occasions where you do. I was in a meeting yesterday and on Monday. So I had Monday's meeting, cameras were on. Yesterday, cameras were off. Now, I like to be taking notes and things. I don't want to be focused on a camera in front of me the whole time. And for meetings, sometimes voice is better because you can actually pay attention. I don't do other things. I try not to do other things while I'm in a meeting. You know, like open up your browser and you go through your social media or any of that stuff. I really try hard not to do that stuff because you've got to concentrate for maybe half an hour. Right? I mean, these virtual meetings are usually quicker than the real ones because you don't have to get coffee or tea and sit and catch up for 5 minutes. And then someone wants to hunna on about this one. And did you hear about that one? And blah, blah, blah. You know, all that bullshit that you can cut out of it. So your meetings should be shorter, should be more efficient. You can concentrate for half an hour. Even I can. And I struggle. You know me. But if the camera's on, you see a lot of people, they're constantly looking at the camera because they're kind of more interested in how they look than anything else. So all they're doing is watching. Have you seen these meetings?
Like, I know what you mean.
It's this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. People are adjusting their hair and they're turning their head at a certain
Or they're doing angle, this like, oh, man.
Sorting out their clothing, you know, like brushing stuff off their clothes. You know what I mean? It's a little bit distracting.
But even worse than that is we're returning to my hell on earth is because human beings are who they are, is now the people who love meetings have now found out this is actually their bliss. No. Now I can organize a meeting all the time. Yeah. Now we've kind of well, the empathy is worn off. Well, and people love meetings. I don't know if this is a South African thing or not. They just love a meeting about a meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, just make an email.
I also have, I have to say at this point, I have a major problem with these people who have to snack the whole way through a meeting. You know,
they snack.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
I can't.
No. People eat and then you can hear the crunching and the mouth noises while they're busy with their meeting. Surely, again, if the meeting's half an hour, maybe an hour, shouldn't be longer than that. Then you can go and get your snack afterwards or you can get it before. Is it really necessary to be eating through the course of the meeting? I mean, how hungry
Come
are
on,
you?
Gareth.
You know,
you've seen
unless it's back to back.
Sorry,
unless they booked you.
South Africans, Gareth, they can't stop. They can't stop themselves from just if it's there's food near most South Africans, they are going for it. We are a massive nation. We are very rotund.
Yeah, I'm just very disappointed rotund. In humanity. No, this eating. You
this
can
is,
hear
this is what you sound like. Right.
No, you know, what do they do? Oh, I'll action that on Monday or whatever. You're like,
oh my god,
yeah.
These are to die for. These are have you tried? These are from Woolies.
Listen,
look, I love ASMR. So that's the thing that I love. I love a thing called mukbang.
Mukbang,
and I'm very fascinated. Yeah, mukbang is the one for me. I love watching people like eat, but they like, and then they crunch all the like.
I've revealed so much about myself today.
You might be in shock.
We have a famous mukbang star who was on our show just the other day, and she was telling us it was a world we had no idea about. I had no idea the
South Africans eating mukbang.
No.
You don't understand. I love watching the mukbang channels, and then I would take whatever I'm eating, and then it's like, I don't know, I have morbid fascination, and then they'd eat all these crazy foods, and they've got these microphones, they've built a proper thing, but it's an industry.
They pick up all the sound, but I just want to go back to the meeting thing for a second. Or even if you're attending a virtual funeral or a virtual wedding or whatever it is that you're attending.
Yeah.
Is it necessary? Like, we've always had coffee and tea in meetings. That's okay, right? Or a glass of water or something. You know, people have had that the whole time. That's never been frowned upon. Are we changing the rules that now it's okay to do snacks and, you know, you set yourself up. You've got like a bowl of popcorn and chips and like some soft drinks or whatever, and you're sitting watching the virtual funeral and you're getting in there like handfuls of popcorn while you're watching the virtual funeral. I mean, isn't that disrespectful? Tell me the truth.
Exactly.
It is, right? Yeah.
It is.
What it reveals is who people really are. Because, you know, at work, you have to pretend, you sort of attenuate. Is if you want to see who somebody really is, put them in somewhere where they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you see the beast come out. So maybe more people are monsters than we know.
Yeah. It's like when they're crying in that funeral. Did you take the chicken out the freezer? Oh, so sad. Yeah, you know, like it's that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was watching. And I was like, no, man. Mm-hmm. You just want to laugh. But you can hear the change in the voice and like, oh, so sorry, but
the other thing is that the three of us, Sureshni and Bulelo and I, we've been in the media business for a while, so we know about muting microphones or about switching cameras on and off and all that stuff. And of course, we also make mistakes from time to time. Everybody does. But some people who are not used to that stuff at all, they forget their cameras on or they forget their microphones on, and that's when the really terrible stuff happens because everyone is trying to have this dignified funeral, and then someone has like music blaring in the background or like loud hammering sounds or hardy-dars or whatever the hell it is going on in the background. They have no idea.
Wasn't there an SA politician, like a government one, that was on his Zoom and his wife walked past and she was naked?
Yeah.
And they actually said this has happened more than once, but fully naked. And then she's putting on a lotion. But I remember seeing this vicious.
Hold on. That wasn't his wife. It was the side piece.
This was the side piece.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. That wasn't. What? So please don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the Eastern Cape. As I recall, it was in the Eastern Cape, and he was warned. The funniest part of that clip, as Suresh he says, is that he's already been warned about this before. So it's happened more than once, you know? And it seems to be a thing in his household that this woman she's putting the lotion on all over.
He's and he's so like, what do you mean? You're on the, oh, okay, let me just carry on.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, so I want us to talk to Grant Burton, who is a YouTuber and someone who sent me an email just a little while ago. He said to me, hey, Gareth, if you want to see the top-ranked South African YouTube channels, you can check out something called socialblade.com. All right, so there's a website that ranks the biggest names in South African YouTube, socialblade.com. And he sent me that link. He also sent me another one, said you can get an estimate of how much YouTubers earn. So when someone says they've made a living out of YouTube, say, just hold on. Just want to quickly just look it up. I'm just going to check if you actually are a big earner. You can immediately call them out on it because, you know, there are lots of these people who say, oh, I'm earning so much money on YouTube. I don't have to work anymore. You're like, nah, you got fired from your job. You don't have a job. And you're telling me YouTube's paying you, but they're not really paying you enough to live. So this guy, I thought we'd talk to him, Grant, because he's a YouTuber himself. And he says he's approaching some 2,000 subscribers. So he's, you know, he's small scale. He's very humble about it too. He's got 332 views, 1,000 views rather, but he's trying. And he searches for himself on Social Blade. It says there that he earns between $5 and $75 per month. In actual fact, over the past 3 months, I've earned $60 a month. Prior to that, it was $55. So it's going up. It's creeping up slowly. Well done to Grant on that front. By the way, listening to some of the YouTubers that you've had previously, it makes me cringe how little they know about the tech and equipment they use. And this could be useful for virtual funerals and meetings as well. So let's talk to Grant. Let's find out what he can teach us this morning. First of all, welcome, man. Thanks for sending your email. I really found it very, very interesting.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. How's it going?
Good. So what do you do on your YouTube channel, first of all? Let's start there.
It's pretty much a mixed bag of things. I don't sort of specialize in one thing, but there's a bit of DIY house vehicle repair type stuff, lot of tool reviews, teardowns, that type of thing. Projects, I make like random projects. One of the things I did was a semi-automatic golf ball cannon.
Oh wow.
A lot of studio stuff.
That sounds good, dude. When did you start doing your YouTube channel, and when did you start producing like enough content to be consistent?
I started in end of 2017, but for 2018, I didn't take it seriously at all. It was more of a place to just store videos. And then a mate of mine just said, come on, do it. So basically 2019, I really started making content and posting regularly every week, every 2 weeks. Cool. And then obviously 2020 came around.
It sounds like a pretty mixed bag of stuff that you put up there, Grant.
It is. Oh. Yeah, no, it definitely is. So there's also some flying, some of the previous work that I used to do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of flying content and some racing stuff.
Nice.
It's a mixed bag. I'm sure there's a bit for everybody.
Okay, so when people say that they are making a lot of money out of YouTube, that's a very hard thing to achieve. You have to be over a large number of subscribers and, you know, well into the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of views to be able to command serious money for it. Tell us what Social Blade shows when it comes to like figuring out South African YouTube. Forget about the international one because those numbers are so enormous, it's frightening. Tell us about South African YouTube and kind of who the big players are.
Well, look, I don't know a hell of a lot about Social Blade itself. Yeah. You know, I've just sort of looked at the website and I've looked at some of the bigger names that I know. And yes, it gives you a whole lot of statistics about, you know, where they rank in South Africa, mm-hmm. and how many subscribers they've got, how many views they've got, and roughly what they earn per video, and what they, as you've already mentioned, what they earn on a monthly basis. But it's quite varying, and that's why I sent you the email, you know, telling you exactly what I earn. And I mean, some of the top people you've actually, you've interviewed Hayley before from Hale's World.
Yes.
And I mean, if you go on Social Blade, you can see it says she earns between, it's called $600 and $10,000 per month. Okay. Now, this is just off of ad revenue. This is not taking into account the other, sort of streams of income that you can generate. But it's not, you know, it's towards the upper end of that region.
If she's earning $10,000 a month, like let's say she's had a really good month this month, that's 150,000 rand. That's a substantial salary.
It is. It is. But of wow. course, there are other costs that go into running a channel like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of support stuff. I mean, you guys know about that type of thing.
Sure.
But then you can go and look at another big YouTuber. I'm sure a lot of people know about it. Know about him, Dan Mace. If you go and look at his social blade, then it says he earns between $80 and $1,300. Now, he's also got almost seven or just over 700,000 subscribers, and he makes wow. really, really good content.
That's phenomenal.
But yet he earns nowhere near, say, what Hales does or, you know, some of the other big channels.
What kind of content? We were talking about mukbang and like ASMR and all that stuff. So these are obviously niche interests, but they're actually enormous because the people who can command serious fees for that sort of thing, it's their whole life. They spend their whole day recording these things, and they're very popular, and they can actually live off that money.
That is correct. One thing that a lot of people don't realize is that depending on the type of content that you create, you get paid differently.
Mm.
So, just as an argument, for argument's sake, people advertising on my channel or the mukbang channels,
yeah.
maybe those advertisers are only willing to pay, you know, $5, $6, $7 per 1,000 views. Whereas if you've got somebody like George, you know, Auto Trader or a yeah. big car company, and you're doing car oriented content, those guys have got a bigger budget and they might be willing to
pay more,
$20 or $30 per 1,000 views. So for producing sort of the same input, if you want to say, you can earn a lot more.
So who do you think is making the most money in South African YouTube?
I haven't really looked. Well, I have looked, but Kiftness, I went to go and look at him.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
says he earns quite a lot.
Yeah.
Probably in the region of sort of $30,000 a month. I don't really believe that. I think that's a bit much. I'm just looking at his social yeah. blade at the moment.
And Casper Lee, what do you think of Casper Lee?
He's pretty big. I haven't actually checked out. And yeah. I just, you know, funny enough, I had a look at the top 10. Ranked in South
Sorry,
Africa.
Sorry, Casper's been on the show before, and he lives in London, and he's made an entire career out of this. He's also helping other YouTubers to develop content. It's a phenomenal business when you're at that level. And he's in the millions.
In the
I think he's got like 5 or 6 million subscribers. So that makes a massive yeah. difference. Then you can seriously charge.
Look, it does, eh? And it's not all about subscribers, though. So YouTube used to be very much subscriber orientated, but nowadays it's a lot of people tend to watch and not subscribe to content. Yeah. And I can give you an example. I mean, it's a real life example of what happened. So I've got a mate, Dale Rubin. He does homesteading and mountain biking on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and he's literally just been monetized a month ago, so end of July. He's just got like 1,000 subscribers type thing.
Yeah.
However, he has had one video that's got 50,000, or it's actually got 78,000 odd now, but over 1 month he had 50,000 views on that video and has earned $143 off of that one video in 1 month.
Wow.
So you don't necessarily have to have millions or hundreds of thousands of subscribers. If you monetize and you have a really popular video that goes viral, you can earn a lot of money just off one video.
So when Bulelo keeps asking us to subscribe to Cliff Central Sport and to go and watch, and when people say you have to like it and you have to comment, all of that stuff helps to generate the interest that it needs. And then you can, if you're monetized, you can charge or you can be paid for the content mm-hmm. itself. So, I mean, like in terms of like the top end and then people right at the bottom, there's huge discrepancy here. How many people do you think can really live off their YouTube earnings alone? In this country,
not a lot. You know, unless you've got a really successful channel and you're uploading regularly with good quality content, no. I'll give you another, again, a real life example. So Social Blade is, you know, it's there, and you can kind of roughly estimate yeah. what it is.
Okay.
But again, yes, somebody sort of mid-tier, Richard Westhuizen. He's also got a channel, Rich Photography, and I spoke to him yesterday just to confirm exactly what he's earning. And he's got 26,000 subscribers, and he earns between 4,000 and 4,500 rand per month consistently.
Wow!
And he gets about 80,000 views per month. So even with 26,000 subscribers, you're not going to survive on 4,000 rand a month. So, I don't think there's a lot of South Africans that can survive solely off of.
I see lots of kids shows. I mean, like, I'm looking at the international list here. So they've got Z Kids, and I see Disney does really well there too. Sureshni, you'll be pleased to see Dance India Dance has 9.12 million subscribers, 4,261,781,000 views. That's just it's insane, right?
It's a huge format. Yeah. Also, because people love entertainment, and those shows like the idol shows that gives you think you can dance, those are massive. That is captive audience. The whole of India watches when that particular show is on. So to have that engagement rate then on YouTube is huge for them. And that's what it is. I think it's also about the engagement rate and to get your numbers up and how many views you've got. It's a huge thing.
And obviously now we've got Twitch, we've got TikTok, we've got Instagram and Facebook to some degree. So YouTube is not the only place that these people can make a huge amount of money, right? And where they can gather audiences. Is that right, Grant?
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't do any of the other social platforms, like as in trying to earn money off of them. But yes, you know, each one has got their own little way of earning money. But I think you need to really, if you want to do well in it, you need to be invested in one platform. So you definitely need to set your time aside. And really put effort into that one to make it worthwhile.
So here are the major categories that they break it down into. So they say auto or vehicle, they've got comedy, education, entertainment, film, gaming, science and technology, how to style, music, news and politics, nonprofit and activism, people and blogs, pets and animals, sport and travel. Those are the main categories.
Yeah, no, there's
right.
Yeah. And you know, within those categories, I'll give you another example, the finance category. If you talk, the guys that talk about finance get paid a lot, 20, 30, maybe even up to $40 per thousand views, because they, you know, the advertising budgets are so big. But then again, who wants to talk about finance all day?
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, listen,
so there's a big scope of, it's a big scope of what you can and can't do and can and can't earn. But as I said, the ad revenue is not the only way to earn money off of YouTube.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so South African Trucker, believe it or not, is at the top of our list at the moment. 61 million views, 84,400 subscribers. That's not a huge number. SA Trucker, who knew?
Yeah,
I like this, but what are you?
I was looking at that yesterday, the top 10, and you know, looking, I'm like, what? Who are the? I know Die Antwoord, they listed at number one by subscribers, but what are these other things like Africa Adventures, the Super Strikers, Disney Channel?
This is absolutely amazing. So, here are a couple of names that you might recognize. Disney Channel Africa is up there, then ENCA, Supersport, SABC News, News 24, and then a couple of names. You mentioned the Kifness, Die Antwoord. We've got someone called Yusuf Peterson. We've got somebody called Rhett and Claire. I don't know what that is. Kwakwa Affairs, I kid you not, is 1,000 subscribers heavy only, 42,500 views. And they're up there. They're in the top 40 of South Africa. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's you don't realize, you know, you would think these people are not famous, but I mean, they are successful. And then you go and look here, that's and great. It tells you a different story.
So, okay.
And I mean, Grant, so I've been engaging with Google, and obviously we've started what we've started, is that there's a whole new world coming as well for South African sort of podcasters and YouTubers, is that I don't know if everybody knows, but by the end of the year, 1080 will go to SD in some parts of the world. People are already streaming and uploading in 6K, and that does affect how YouTube is going to monetize your or how Google are going to monetize your videos, just in case there are YouTubers out there who don't know that. And that's a big problem for South Africans, because we don't have fiber widely spread. And again, there's a lot of people that are doing well now, but that's because 720 and 480 are still kind of accepted by the algorithm. But in a year and a half's time, I think our YouTubers are going to we'll see how it goes unless they go international.
So on that,
no, look.
Okay, go ahead and answer Mbulelo. Sorry, I had a question.
No, no. Well, I was going to say definitely. I mean, if you're still filming in 480 and 720, you know, get with the times. Yeah. At least 1080p. And if you can, rather film in 4K and upload in 4K, or at least film in 4K and then upload in 1080. But you need to start moving with the times, definitely.
So, okay, Grant, what equipment? You've got a pretty professional looking setup there. I mean, we also try to keep it as professional as possible here, but like, what would you advise to people who don't want to spend a fortune on this stuff, but they want to look professional? What can you do? Because most people have no idea, right? Lighting, microphones, give us the specs.
Yes. So, look, if you're thinking about starting, definitely do not go borrow money to buy equipment, thinking you'll make it back. That's not going to happen. So if you're going to start, your cell phone, just use your cell phone. But you can buy an entry-level microphone, because audio is actually a big part of video, and especially for podcasting and the stuff, you know, that type of thing. But if you use your cell phone.
Especially for Sureshni, she's going to be doing the mukbang ASMR stuff. She's going to need a good microphone.
Listen, my kid does stuff on YouTube. So we've invested really well in like microphones, ring lights, you know, good systems. So I'm in. Yeah. And lapel microphones and those Rode mics.
Well, for yes. So yeah, your phone. But the most important thing is actually going to be lighting. If you have really good lighting, your phone will do perfectly. Once you know that you're into the video and that type of thing, then go and buy yourself an entry level camera, which might end up costing you 15,000 odd rand. Sure. You know, for something like the Canon N50 or the Sony ZV-E10, which is their new camera that's come out now. But that's still like bottom of the range type of thing, and then you're just going to be buying a camera for that. And, you know, and then you've got to add microphones. So talking about this. This mukbang thing. I don't really watch that type of thing. But yeah, you need good quality microphones, because it's all about the sound. And you know, a good quality microphone is going to run you 10,000-12,000 rand maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got some examples actually to show your viewers. Mm-hmm. I've actually got one set up here if you want to listen to it.
Go for it. Yeah, let's do that.
So he has one right over here. I'll just take it off quickly. So just for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'd suggest that you head over to YouTube, over to Cliff Central, so that you can see what's happening. And while you're there, just click subscribe,
there
the like
go.
Button.
Thank you.
The bell icon.
What a professional.
And, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about the show.
There we go. You see? Nice job. Nice job, Grant.
So this, as an example, I mean, look, you get many different types of microphones, but this is a Rode NTG5. This is about 12,000 rand for the microphone. It's a condenser microphone, a shotgun mic. So currently you're listening to, this is a dynamic microphone. It's kind of like what you guys have, in front of you. I'm just going to switch over to the condenser quickly.
Yeah, let's listen. See if we can pick up a difference. Right, he's switching over from microphone to microphone.
Yeah, so I've got a mixer, it's an audio recorder through there. So you should be able to hear now the difference.
Much better.
So with this mic, you're going to hear a lot more of the room ambience.
Yeah.
But it's much more directional, and you get a lot clearer sound.
Yeah.
Which is actually why I'm not using it today, because I didn't want you to hear, you know, reflections off the floor and the hard surfaces. Yeah. But for mukbang, as an example, or for doing audio recordings of sounds, then this coupled with something that you can see in the background here, a really high quality field recorder, so that you record high quality sound with a very low noise floor.
Gotcha.
Because as we know, it's all about sound.
And When it comes to lighting, let's just solve this problem for people too, because you need the actual light on you, and then you need light in the background too. You can't have like complete darkness, and I mean, we've had lots of people come on this show, and sometimes the background looks amazing because it's that time of day, and sometimes it looks like there's a cave that they're living in, right?
No, 100%. So, as an example, what I try and do, I like to control the lighting. So I've got blackout curtains, and then let's just clear this whole thing up. Let's, guys, just stop talking about ring lights, please.
You don't believe in them.
Man.
I was about to like show you, look at my ring light. Look how much brighter. Look, look, look. Now I'm reducing.
Look at you.
But is that something to like light up your underpants or something?
We spoke about this earlier. Yeah. My room happens to be dark and my background is dark. I am in the little office has a very poor light. So I thought, oh, let me put a ring light and there is a window. It's about to open. So let's see the natural light.
You actually don't live your life in the dark.
Yeah. I know.
That's a metaphorical and a literal thing.
So Grant, you don't believe in ring lights?
No, let's just get this right. You're looking for a key light. So your key light is what's in front of you. That's what's shining onto you. That's what your ring light is.
Mm.
So it just referred to it as a key light. Maybe don't even talk about
Okay.
ring lights.
Oh, so you don't like like the name. You don't mind the actual device.
Yeah, I know, not the other device.
So
a key light can also be a window. You know, you sit in front of a window and the light shines in, although that does change over time. So key light, and then normally you would have a full light, so to fill this side of my face, the shadows, I don't have one. Mine's more overhead. And then, Suresh, like you don't have any light behind you. So you could have some type of ambient lighting, like I've got that little blue tube, and there's also a light down on the floor.
Well, like an LED, like, can I use an LED?
You can. You've got to be careful there a little bit, but it separates you from the background. And that just, you know, makes the picture look
And would
better.
You suggest that people should have green screens, or is that unnecessary?
Again, depending on what you want to do, you know, preferably not. But it depends on what you want to do. I mean, like, I don't need a green screen. You guys don't need a green screen unless you want to add another background onto what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then no, don't worry about it. You know, put whatever you want behind you.
Yeah. My little one watches a lot of YouTube, specifically a YouTuber called Cookies Filthy. My daughter loves her unboxing. And like my child, that's my child's hero. Okay. And she does a lot of toys and all of that. And my little one said to me, Mom, if you're ever doing an unboxing video, the key is having the exact same background or backdrop every single day. That's why I love Cookies Filthy, because she has the same picture and I was like, oh, that's a consistency. And for her, it's the backdrop. And then I'm focused on how Cookie undoes all the toys or whatever. So I think a lot of people are investing in backdrops and flat lays and those kind of things to make it, because it's a booming business right now. It really is.
Look, 100%. You know, for consistency is something that you want to be going for. But you can set up a part of your house, a room or an area with a certain background, and then that can be your consistency. You know, you don't have to use a green screen. And sometimes, I'm sure you guys have seen this, if you use a green screen and the software is not right or the lighting is not right, it can make like funny things around your hair. And,
it cuts out people's ears and all kinds of things.
Yeah, so it just depends what you want to use it for. But I've got a couple of other things that I want to show you as well.
Sure, let's take a look. Go on.
Yeah, so I'll try and explain these things. But a lot of people know the top camera top microphones that you would buy. This is like a little shotgun mic, as they call it.
Right, that goes on, that actually attaches to the top of the camera, and it gets you better sound on whatever you're filming, right?
Yes, it plugs in. But that's pretty much only useful when you're talking to the camera at arm's length. You know, if you're 2-3 meters away, even it's though it's a very expensive microphone, it's pretty much useless. Then, as Sureshni had said, lav mics. So there's a little, okay, it's quite difficult to see, but it's very small, but it's
a lapel microphone. It's like what people, when they go on TV, they connect them to the jacket lapel, or they put it, they tie it to the top collar or whatever it might be of whatever the person's 100%. Wearing. And that picks up pretty good vocals from whatever that person's doing.
100%. So now for somebody starting YouTube with your phone, this you can plug directly into your phone. You can get an extension lead for these things. Mm-hmm. And then you just run it along the floor, tuck it under your shirt, and then you can talk at 2 or 3 meters away or right in front of the camera, and then you'll have good audio, you know, right off the bat. You can get a really good quality one, a Rode lapel for R1,300. You can buy some of the cheaper stuff, more entry level, say Boya.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, I think they run about R800 or R900. And then you can go more expensive, of course. But something that also I've been using quite a lot lately, this is kind of an all-rounder. It's these two little things, wireless mics. You guys might be familiar with them. I mean, it's so small that you can, the transmitter and receiver, that if you curl, I mean, you can see if I put it in my hand, it disappears in your hand.
Yeah, when you make a fist, it's gone. It's like it's hidden in the palm of your hand. Yeah.
So that's a little bit more expensive. These things run about R7,000 for a dual set, one receiver, two transmitters. However, this, if you can afford it with your phone to start off with, and then when you upgrade, if you want to do it more seriously, you can use it there. You just clip it onto your shirt, and then you've got a wireless system so that if you're right in front of the camera or if you're 30 meters away, you've got perfect audio.
Obviously, if you're the kind of person who's doing a lot of action, like let's say you're a mountain biker or something like that, you want less wires. So that's also where it could be useful.
Yeah, 100%. It does work. And, these things do perform quite well. Although, I mean, you don't want to be bashing them around too much.
It's, no, sensitive and expensive. Okay, yeah. So we've had a look at some of the microphones, and that's obviously very helpful for people. Someone asked here, are you a Sony, a Nikon, or a Canon fan when it comes to cameras?
I'm a Sony fan. Mainly just because that's what I bought. I did a bit of research and now I'm kind of stuck into the Sony ecosystem because, you get stuck in once you start buying lenses. You start buying, lenses are expensive things. I mean, there's three of them here and one on the camera. And, so I've got four lenses now. Now for me to go and change to Canon, if Canon brings out a really good camera.
It gets expensive.
Yeah, man. You can't. Yeah.
Yeah, I live this life because my husband is a passionate photographer on the side. And I think the last lens from Sony was $135,000. I was like, okay. Yeah, I heard about, like, he's like, this is what I really want to get. And that's where he's saving towards. But yeah, he also moved from Canon to Sony. But
if he spends over 100,000 rand on a lens, it is time for you to divorce him. Really.
I love him. I know you do.
No,
so, let me also just mention to you guys that, as you are starting, with your smartphone, you can do that. Then you can go into the entry level stuff is basically more medium level. That's what I've got. You're going to pay about 30,000 rand for a camera body. Sony A6600 now is the newer one, or as I said, some of the cheaper ones are Canon M50. Mm-hmm. But if you want to move into the full frame type of more professional setup, like Sureshni is mentioning there, that's stuff like the Canon R6, the R5, or the 1DX Mark II, Sony's got the A7S Mark III. You're going to start paying like 65,000 rand for a body. Your lenses probably start at like the really smallest ones, 25,000-30,000 rand for a lens.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, you could have like 200,000-300,000 rands worth of just camera and lens, but you don't need that for YouTube. 100%, you don't need that.
No,
if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, in the end, I mean, people aren't watching, they aren't necessarily watching this stuff on their HD TV. They're watching it on a laptop or even more likely on a phone, right? And if you're watching it on a phone, there's only so much resolution that this screen can handle anyway.
Agreed, 100%. And look, if you were going to be successful on that, 200,000 rand camera, you were going to be successful using a smartphone.
Correct.
So keep
your costs low in the beginning and try and drive, the popularity of your channel and make the content really good. Worry about the equipment
later. Exactly. Another thing also that people don't realize is what's of great importance. You need to make good content, but you also need to have good thumbnails and good titles because you can make the best content in the world, but if nobody ever clicks on it, well, it means nothing.
Yeah. All right. Listen, this has been very helpful. I appreciate your time. Thank you, Grant. Grant Burton, where can we find you on YouTube? What's your channel called?
You can search Grant Burton, youtube.com/Grant Burton. If you search it, I'll be probably the first one that comes up.
I should hope so.
No, look, guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Look, I mean, I can talk for hours about all the equipment. If you want to chat again at some other time, or whatever.
We're good for now, huh? Thank you so much, dude. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Cool. Cheers.
Very nice. There we go. Cool guy. I mean, like, you know, this is a whole universe of stuff that, frankly, I'm forcing myself to be aware of it now. But it's incredible how many people have made a living. And even if it is just the tiniest percentage at the top that get to do really well from it, it represents these are people who might never have had jobs before. These are new jobs that are being created out of nothing. They're not stealing from another job. They're not taking from anything else. It's a new world of opportunity. And I think if you...
Have you seen makeup artists?
Oh, my God. I mean, like, if you do that stuff...
It's massive in South Africa. Massive.
If you do that stuff. So we've had... like, Leanne talks about that quite a lot. She follows those famous ones. Like, what's the dude's name?
There's Aisha. Switched Beauty is another one. Yeah. Oh, we've got phenomenal makeup artists in South Africa. So, Sinesh Makeup.
Yeah, I would be lying to you if I said I know who they are. But it is a huge industry. And those people didn't have... anything except actually doing the makeup at a wedding, for example, before as their job. Now they can do it on YouTube and make so much more. It's phenomenal.
Mm.
And they can still do the other stuff as well. So it's incredible. Tracy says, I'm a photographer. You don't want to know how much I've spent on gear over the years. It is insane. But they are the tools of my trade, and I love my job. Yeah. Definitely use SEO, search engine optimization, for your videos, says Monica. And Wendy says, we recently moved to KZN and I film everything on my iPhone and post to YouTube to save our memories. My family can follow our travels. Next year, we will be living in a tiny home at Moby Lodge. Okay, so that's interesting, Wendy. I think a lot of people use it as just an archive for their own stuff, right? Carl has some good advice. Always use scantily clad women with massive boobs as your thumbnail, regardless of what your content is.
So that politician there is doing really well by having his side bay as part of the thing.
All right. Well, listen, Sureshni, it's been great to catch up with you, and thank you for being on the show with us this morning. I hope you've had some fun too.
I did. Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's so awesome. Great to like have a nice conversation. You're probably going to judge me for all my weirdness now, but it's okay.
Oh,
we
don't judge people.
I've already done that.
You want to talk about weirdness, you've come to the right place. So you're always welcome.
You're a legend, by the way.
Very nice to have
you.
Very nice to have you here, Sureshni. And love to Lee and the family, and we will catch up with you soon.
Awesome.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Cheers. CliffCentral.com